Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Say good morning.
Good morning.
Amen. Hey, before we get started with the word, I did have one other announcement, and that was that I needed to meet with the executive team and Sister Melinda next Sunday after service to make this transition, okay? I'm going to ask just, if I have you stand up on your feet, let's pray. Come on, stand up on your feet. Honor the Lord. Continue to honor the Lord this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we just want to just acknowledge your presence here today, Lord. We are so grateful that you saw fit, Lord, to stop by, excavate, and spend a little time with us this morning. Okay? I pray right now, Lord, that every heart is open and receptive. Every heart is open and receptive to your presence today, Lord. I pray that every ear is ready to hear what you have to say.
Yes.
Yes. I pray right now, Lord, that we stand on your word this morning, Lord. We stand firm, Father, on your word this morning, Lord, that you are in our presence this morning, Lord. Your word declares that where there are two or three gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of us. And I pray right now, Lord, that this vessel, Lord, as I yield it over to you, I pray, Father, that you use me as you see fit to be a mouthpiece to your people, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, I honor you this morning. I give you all the praise. Now, Joshua chapter 10 opens with five kings of Canaan joining forces to attack Gibeon, because we read last time that the Gibeonites had made a peace treaty with the people of Israel. Now, these five kings, they didn't know it, but they were playing right into the hand of Joshua. Now, instead of having to pick them off one at a time, they came together, and he was able to defeat them all together. Amen? Now, in the previous chapter, the Israelites had been tricked, duped, bamboozled,
right,
and to making a peace treaty with the people of Gibeon. And if we remember, God told them in Deuteronomy that when they go into this land, not to make any covenant with the people in the land. He told them to utterly destroy them and everything that was in the land. But they were duped. Amen? Now it's time, so in the last chapter, chapter 9, the Israelites made a peace treaty with the people of Gibeon. Now it's time for them to make good on their promise and protect the Gibeonites. Now for Israel, it's just another battle in the conquest of the promised land. But for us, it's a vivid picture of the Christian life. You see, battles are a reality in the life of the child of God.
Amen.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
The Bible tells us that in this world, you will have what? Tribulation. You're going to have some tests. You're going to have some battles. But we never have to face them alone. Amen? Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5 tells us this, that God says, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5, he says that I will never under any circumstances desert you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless, nor will I forsake you or let you down. He says, relax. Hold is on you. In the day of battle, we have the promise that God will never leave us or forsake us. And that is a promise from the one who is an ever-present help in your time of need. That's a promise from God. Amen? So my duty this morning, as we consider chapters 10 and chapter 11, is to remind you that our lives will be filled with battles.
Amen.
However, these battles are not really physical battles. Neither are they battles with other people. Our battles are spiritual battles. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness, where? In high places, in heavenly places. So if we know that we are not battling in the physical realm and our battles are in the spirit, then 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4 tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, are not natural. Am I right about it? They're not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds, amen? Now, one reason why so many of God's people, listen to me, one reason why so many of God's people are on the losing end of the battles is because we're using the wrong weapons.
Amen.
You're trying to win a spiritual battle with natural weapons. As soon as something comes up, where do you turn? To the world. Your battle is not with the world. We just read that your battles are not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers, amen? So you're using the wrong weapon.
Amen.
That's why we're always on the losing end of our battles, amen? Satan comes to attack us from an unseen realm in the spirit. Therefore, we can't use human weapons against this man. We found out last week that he's so crafty that he slithered right into the garden right after God had just married man and woman and disrupted the whole garden. The place he disrupted the home, amen, the place where where he planted them and gave them everything that they needed for life and living. He marched right in there, right after holy matrimony, and disrupted and destroyed the whole thing. Satan has more experience than you. Say amen, somebody.
Amen.
And here's why. Satan's been around for millions of years. Amen. And that's his assignment, is to destroy everything in your life. He has schemes and plans we can't even see. So we need the armor of God because of the enemy that we're up against. So go with me, as you will, to Joshua and the armies of Israel as they fight the good fight of faith. And as we observe them in their day of battle, there's some very special lessons that we can learn that will help us when we face the day of battle. Amen? Now, the day of battle is the same as the evil day. The day of battle is when all hell breaks loose in your life. Amen? So here in Joshua chapter 10, I'm going to start reading at verse number 1. Are you there?
Yeah.
Verse number 1. And it says, "Now it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and his king. So he had done to Ai and his king. And now the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. Therefore, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jeremoth, Japhia, king of Lachish, and Debir, king of Elgin, saying, 'Come up to me and help me, that we may attack Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and the children of Israel.' Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites and the kings of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jeremoth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered together and went up, they and all their armies, encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, 'Do not forsake us, your servants. Come up to us quickly, save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us.' So Joshua ascended," that's really important here, "from Gilgal. He went uphill all night long." Climbing up a hill all night long to do battle. "And had all the people of war with him and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua," underline this, "'Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you.' Joshua therefore came to them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. So the Lord routed out them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter of Gibeon, chased them along the road that goes to Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makkedah. And it happened, as they fled before Israel and were in the desert and on the descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and said in the sight of Israel, 'Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon.' So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like it, before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned, and Israel, and all Israel with him, encamped at Gilgal." Now, I want to share with you three things today. The first thing I want to share with you is some lessons about your Savior. Some lessons about your Savior. Amen? Now, in these verses, Israel is about to honor this peace treaty that they made with the Gibeonites. They were going to keep their word and help these people fight those kings that have risen up against them. And as they prepare for battle, the Lord comes to them with a promise of help and victory. That's your God. Your God is going to fight for you. He's going to fight for you. This section represents the supernatural aspects of our battles. And there are times when the Lord comes and joins you and aids you and fights your battles for you. And there are times when he moves in powers and miracles and miracles are worked out in your life. And that's the time, this is one of those times that's pictured right here in this passage that we're reading today. So you don't have to anguish. You gotta hear what I'm saying. You don't have to be filled with anxiety.
Yes.
You don't have to fear.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You don't have to be discouraged.
Yes.
You don't have to be dismayed when you're going through, when the situation seems hopeless.
Yes.
Or matters so overwhelming. The Bible tells us to fear them not.
Amen.
Because God is with you. You may be tempted in these times to doubt God, saints, but you've got to remember that no problem is beyond the scope of God's sovereign care for his children. You may be going through something in your body right now, but don't be filled with fear. Don't be anxious. Don't be discouraged. Don't anguish over that thing. Your God is with you, and he's going to fight for you, saints. Come on, somebody. You remember in Exodus chapter 14, when the people of Israel, they had just been delivered out of Egypt. They had just got delivered. They had been praying for a savior for 400 years. And then God sent a man named Moses to deliver them out of Egypt. And Moses led them out of Egypt, and he got them to the brink of the Red Sea. And there was no place for them to go. They couldn't go forward. Pharaoh was on their tail behind them. They couldn't go left. They couldn't go right. It was a hopeless situation.
Yes.
They were overwhelmed.
Yes.
But in the midst of that,
yes.
Lord have mercy, Joshua said to them in Exodus chapter 14,
yes.
He said, this day your Lord is going to fight for you.
Yes.
He said, all you need to do is stand still.
Yes.
See, sometimes when you're going through something, you just need to be quiet. You hear what I'm saying? Something comes into your life and the first thing you do, oh Lord, what am I going to do? You running around back and forth and screaming to the top of your lungs and get filled with anxiety. Sometimes you just need to stand still. He told them the same thing. He told Jehoshaphat the same thing in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When they were battling, they had three armies surrounding them. And the man of God stood up and said, this battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. He told them to stand still, Mana, and see the salvation of God. Sometimes you just need to stand still when you're going. When all hell breaks loose in your life, just stand still. Get somewhere and be quiet.
Amen. Amen.
That was a supernatural miracle that God performed for them. Your God will fight for you, saints. And in the midst of that, look at verse number 8. Joshua chapter 10, verse number 8. Look at what he gave. He said, and the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hands. He gave them peace.
Yeah.
He said, fear not. I have delivered them into your hands. He said, fear them not. God's challenge to his people was for them not to fear the enemy. And God was reminding Joshua that he was still in control of this situation. If you remember, we opened up this series in Joshua chapter 1. And verse number 5, God told Joshua, he said, when you go into this land, there's going to be enemies in that land. The Hittites, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites, and all the lights are going to be in that land. And he told Joshua, he said, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. He said, I will never leave thee or forsake you. So I just want you to know this morning, ain't no need you running.
Yes.
Stand still. God already delivered the enemy. Whatever it is that you're going through, God has already delivered you from.
Amen.
You need to catch that.
Amen.
Everything that God is ever going to do for you, he already done it. In the beginning, when God created this universe, you were there. And he gave you everything you needed for life and living. In the very end of beginning, it says.
Yeah.
I want to just remind you, saints, that he's the same God that created the world. He's the same today. He's the same God today. Amen. He's still in control. He's still on the throne. He's still the Prince of Peace. He's still able to give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. He's still Jehovah Shalom. He's the Prince of Peace. When all hell broke loose in your life, God still says, I'm Jehovah Shalom. I'm the Prince of Peace.
Yes.
He said, you can just settle down. He says, relax. My hold is on you. Isn't that good to know that you are in the hands of God? He's still in control of every situation that you're going through, no matter how big or how small it may be. His peace keeps us from fear. His peace keeps us from worry. And then because when peace and when fear and worry comes into your life, it should bring us straight to him. If you're a child of God, you should take it straight to the Lord. That's the secret to walking in faith. To walking in peace is to walk in faith. See, I believe that the Lord didn't save you to be agitated and worried. You need to catch that. God didn't save you to be agitated and worried. He doesn't mean for you to tremble in fear when an enemy approaches. When the day of battle comes into your life, the Lord will give you peace. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Lean not. When the day of battle comes, when all hell breaks loose in your life, you have a tendency to lean over here. God says, no, don't lean over there. Don't lean into your own understanding. Because he told Joshua, he said, Joshua, when you go out there to battle, and when you get into that promised land, there's going to be some haters out there. He said, I know that you're a military strategist, Joshua. He says, but I'm going to teach you how to do some things. I'm going to get you involved into some wars, into some battles, into some fights that you're not used to, that are unconventional. So he says, Joshua, when you see those things come up in your life, he said, you stay focused on me. Don't lean into your own understanding. He said, you stay focused on me, Joshua, because I'm the one that's going to navigate you through all these obstacles in your life.
Amen.
So you don't shout, I'm shouting by myself.
Yeah. Whoa,
woo, goodness. See, as God's children, we need to remember that everything that happens in our lives had to pass through the desk of God, and he had to put his stamp on it.
Amen.
Remember we said last week, God told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has asked for permission to sift you as wheat. He said, but I pray for you that your faith will not fail you. Satan asked permission to tear your life up. He said, but when he comes, I pray for you that your faith will fail not.
Amen.
He told Job the same thing, didn't he?
Yes.
He told Job, he said, God said to Satan, he said, well, have you considered my servant Job? Mm-hmm. He said, the only reason he's serving you is because you're giving him stuff. Mm-hmm. Satan said, go ahead and try. God said, go ahead and try. I got him. He had to get permission to wreak havoc in your life. And he's the same, it's the same way today. He can't do nothing without getting a stamp from God to do it. Amen? Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to what?
His
purpose. So he gave them peace in the middle of their battle. He also gave them a promise. See, the Lord didn't just stop with words of encouragement. He also gave them a promise of absolute victory. He told them in that same verse, he says, I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you all the days of your life. That's a promise from God. Amen. And I still believe the Lord never saved you to be defeated. When he saved you, he did so with the promise that you can walk in victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says, God always calls you to triumph.
Amen.
Amen. He always calls you to have victory.
That's right.
Romans 8:37 says that you are more than a conqueror. And you're not more than a conqueror by avoiding these things, but by triumphing over them through Jesus Christ. Now that doesn't mean that every situation in life will work out the way you want it to, but it does mean that God will enable you to live above your circumstances and to share in his victory over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil.
Amen.
Amen. God, he gave you a promise. He gave them peace, he gave them promise, and he also gave them his power. Look at verse number 9. Joshua came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal, so that the Lord brought them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the road that goes to Bethlehem, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makkedah. And it happened, as they fled before Israel, they were on the descent of Bethlehem, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with their swords. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord on that day, when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, stand still over Gibeon and moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. Amen. And there has been no day like it, before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of man, for the Lord fought for Israel. He gave them his power, saints. And in these verses, we see a mighty demonstration of power from God in the life of Israel. And God moved in great manifestation of supernatural power and gave his children the victory. Now, he did it in two ways. One, he caused hail to fall from the sky. God used the elements of nature as his armament.
Come on.
God used hail to rout out a vast majority of these enemies of Israel. And that was a miraculous intervention of God. If you remember, God did the same thing to Jehoshaphat and the army that they faced. He had to praise the worship team go out before them and sing, For the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Now, that's unconventional. You're going to battle, three armies, and you ain't sending out nobody with no weapons, but you got the praise team out in front of you singing. And when they got over the hill, the Bible says that
There was dead bodies everywhere. Not one remained. God intervened supernaturally in the lives of the people of Israel. And God intervenes supernaturally in your life when you align. Amen? See, and God, but he invites us to partner with him, saints, and to do the work for the kingdom. But you and I must never forget that we are only junior partners in this program. He's the man. Amen. So he sent hailstones down. That was one way from heaven. And then the second thing he did was the Lord performed one of the greatest miracles here that was ever recorded in the physical world. Amen. God stopped the sun in the heavens and extended the daylight hours for Joshua and his army to finish the battle. Now, this passage has brought so much ridicule upon the Bible. Amen. Because some people believe that it proves that the Bible is uninspired. And the reason why, because they believe that science has proven that the earth rotates around the sun. Right? And that the sun doesn't move. Am I right about it? That's been long since proved. However, I just want to take a few minutes to look at the statement here. And for me, this settles this issue. We all speak of the sunrise and the sunset, right? We don't use technical and scientific language to describe the things that we observe all around us. Amen? Very literally, the sun hung on the zenith of the sky for about a whole day. Now, the ancient history supports this claim. Like, you can look at the Chinese, the Babylonians, the Incas, the Aztecs, the Egyptians, and the Assyrians. You can go all the way back there. And other ancient cultures all recorded the existence of a long day, which occurred right around this time. Amen? Now, using an ancient Chaldean calendar, which was built around lunar and solar eclipse, it's possible to count forward. Come on, somebody. For this day, you find that this day actually fell on a Tuesday, July 22nd. Amen? However, we can count backwards using our system of collecting days and recollecting days, and you'll find that this event happened on July 22nd on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Amen? Now, is there a problem? Ain't a problem. It's just the fact that an entire day is missing either way you go. The Bible just said in verse number 13, that the sun and the moon stay still. Amen. It tells us where that day was missing, where that day went. Amen. In verse number 13, it says, so the sun stood still and the moon stopped. Amen. Now, I know some people argue, Pastor, that violates all the laws of nature. Well, my response to that, and I want to remind you and everybody else that may make this claim, that there are no laws to nature. Don't miss that now. The only law to nature is God-governed laws. If God created it, he surely can control it. Do I got any believers in here? If God created this universe, if God could just speak words, and all of this appeared, and he stood there with a blank canvas, and placed the moon and the stars and the zenith and all this other stuff right there, don't you think he can stop the sun from moving and the moon? I'm talking about the one that controls it. God intervened supernaturally on behalf of Israel, and God gave them all the daylight that they needed to get the job done. And believe it or not, Saint, that's what God's trying to do with you. He's giving you all the time in the world. He says, I know you need some help. I'm trying to give you all the time you need to overcome this thing. But you need to lean not into your own understanding and understand that I got this thing under control. Now, I'm saying that to say this because God, He will fight your battles for you. Amen? And I've seen people healed of diseases. I've seen the drunks saved and sobered immediately by the power of God. I've seen people that misuse and abuse drugs and alcohol. Saved immediately by the power of God.
Yes.
I've seen folks that have been on their dying bed. God healed them of their sickness. I've seen lives changed in miraculous ways by the supernatural intervention of God, is what I'm trying to tell you. And I've seen the Lord move in response to the words of His people when they called upon Him. I've seen God move mountains. And if that's not proof enough for you, when these folks told my wife that I'm giving you 2 months to live, and here she is 20 years later, sitting right here before you, I'm talking about I've seen God intervene supernaturally. I've seen folks who misused and abused drugs for 15 years right here and call upon the name of the Lord one day, and God intervened supernaturally and moved every bit of drugs, alcohol, love, fornication, cigarettes, you name it, God moved it out of my life supernaturally 23 years ago. I know what God can do. I see God move supernaturally. You hear what I'm saying? I see God do it. That's the God that we serve. That's our God. So I don't care what situation that may be plaguing your life. If you call on the name of Jesus, trust in Him. And lean not into your own understanding. This is something I shared with my wife just last night. I said, honey, don't lean over there.
Amen.
Don't even let your mind go over there.
Amen.
You stay focused on God.
Yes.
And you watch the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
Am I right about it? So please understand that He doesn't always move that way. Because I've seen drunks delivered, but I also seen others who still struggle with that sin even after they've been saved. Amen? And I've seen saints heal, but I've also seen others die with their diseases. Amen? See, and I'm telling you this morning that there are times when the Lord will move in a supernatural way to meet your needs. Because He's God, and He can do that. Amen? So there was a lessons for your Savior. Now there's a lessons for the saints, amen, for you and I. Now, in this first section, we just saw the supernatural aspect of what God can do. Now, I'm going to talk to you about, this section portrays the personal aspect of battles that we must fight in our lives, amen? You see, God gave them a great victory through His mighty power, through His mighty hand. But there was still more of the battle to be fought. And in these verses, we see Israel, not the Lord, engaged in battle. And there's some lessons here for the saints, for you and I, amen? Look at verse number 16. But these five kings had fled and hidden themselves in a cave at Machpelah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings they have been found hidden in a cave at Machpelah. So Joshua said, roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and set men by it to guard them. Amen? So here's a lesson for you and I as believers in Christ. We must control our enemy. Notice that these five kings tried to hide themselves in a cave. And when they were discovered, Joshua ordered the cave to be sealed up. Watch this. Preventing them from escaping. That's a picture of control. When you got saved, watch this. When you got saved, God changed you. Thanks, Elder Jonathan. When you got saved, God changed you. But your old sinful nature is still alive. And it's still alive and well. And that's, you know, that's the part of you that loves sin and the world is still active. Amen? And if you don't believe it, all you gotta do is just stick around just for a few more days and you'll see how your flesh will act up. See, just like these kings, our enemy, the flesh, hides itself within us and runs out into the open from time to time and causes trouble, amen? Now watch this. You may have a problem with this right here. You might have a problem with your tongue, that little appendage between your lips. Sometimes you just don't know when to be quiet. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
And that little appendage will get you in trouble, you know, quite often, amen? So sometimes you just need to just put a lock on it. It may be anger that you're dealing with. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
That rises up on the inside of you. It may be hatred that you're carrying around in your heart.
Mercy.
It may be prejudice.
Amen.
That you're holding on to. Watch this. It may be lust.
Mercy.
It may be depravity, your moral compass that keeps rising up on you from time to time. Whatever that thing may be in your life, it must be controlled, amen? Or it will eventually come out and it'll control you.
Mercy.
Joshua controlled his enemy. He locked him up in the cave and told the men to stand guard so that there was no way to escape.
Right.
Sometimes, saints, you got to barrel down and lock and stand guard.
Yes.
See, it's important for us to note that part of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance.
Yes.
Can I say that again? Part of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, 23, talks about temperance. Amen? And that word refers to, literally means, self-control. See, it refers to a person, watch this, who's master over himself. See, and as a child of God, you have no right to do as you please. As a child of God, you have no right to do as you please. Amen? If you're saved and allowing sin to reign in your life, you're doing so with stolen property. It's not your body. You are the Lord's, and you have no business using his body or using his mind or using his anything for sin and wickedness, because 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, don't you know that the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you and that you've been bought with a price, you are not your own? Put it in the Bible. One proof of walking in the Spirit is the presence of self-control.
That's right. That's right.
So, how are you doing in this area?
Amen.
So he can control his enemy.
Yes, that's good.
But we also must confront your enemy.
Come on.
Look at verse 22.
Joshua chapter 10. Then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings to me from the cave. And they did so and brought those five kings out, kings to him from the cave. The kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jeremiah, the king of Lasher, the king of Eglon. So it was when they brought out these kings to Joshua that Joshua called for the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, come in, put your feet on their necks, on the necks of the kings. And they drew near and put their feet on the necks of the king. And Joshua said to them, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you come to fight. Notice that after the battle had been won, Joshua came back to the cave, brought the kings with them, and humiliated them by having his princes place their feet upon the necks of these kings. Now, this was a sign, this was a symbol of total domination over your enemy. He confronted them openly and publicly and pronounced victory over them. If I'm not mistaken, the Bible says that Jesus Christ, when he rose up from the grave, triumphant openly, made a triumphant open victory over his, over the devil and all his demons, didn't he? He did it openly and publicly. Amen. And spiritually speaking, you and I need to do the same thing. Every person in this room, don't try to hide. Amen. Every person in this room knows, watch this, what kings hide in your closet. You know about the secret sins and those problems that you have with the flesh. And the only way for you to get absolute and permanent victory over these things is for you to confront them. You need to drag them out of their hiding places and lay them down before the Lord and place your foot on their necks in the name of Jesus Christ and proclaim victory over them. And you need to do that this morning. Amen. That's what we need to do. See, because listen, we will never prosper as children of God until your sins and minds that are hidden from God, we allow them to be handled God's way. The Bible says in 1 John chapter verse 9, it says, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If I do what? Confess. Amen. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Amen. We got to bring this thing and lay it out. Amen. We got to say it. Lay it out. Amen. Yes. So he controlled them. He confronted them. And then we must conquer over our enemies. Amen. Verse 26 and 27. It says, and afterward Joshua struck them and killed them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging on a tree until evening. So it was at the time of going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down from the trees, cast them into the cave where they had been hidden, and laid large stones against the cave's mouth, which remained until what?
This very day.
Amen. In these verses, we see Joshua takes a step that ensures the victory over these five kings. You know what he did? He put them things to death. He put them to death. And I just want to remind you that our flesh is good for nothing. Romans chapter 7, verse number 18 says that there is nothing good that dwells in his flesh. The only way for us to walk in victory before the Lord is to put this flesh to death. And that means we must die daily.
Amen.
If you get a minute, read Colossians chapter 3, the first 11 verses, it'll tell you really plainly what things you need to put down. Amen. Paul says that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Paul said, it's not me that's doing this, but it's by the Spirit that's on the inside of me. Amen. And lastly, hang in with me, just a couple more minutes. There's a lesson about steadfastness. A lesson about steadfastness. Now, as we move through these last couple of verses here, we see Israel completing this central campaign, and we see them fighting both the southern and northern campaigns as well. And we look at the supernatural aspect of our battles, as well as the personal aspect of the battle. Now, these verses will see the temporal aspect of the battles, and by that I mean that they must be fought, but they won't last forever. Amen. And just as Israel obtained a state of rest, we too will rest from the battles of life. But until then, we have to allow ourselves to be encouraged and to stay steadfast in the battles. So, verse 28 says, On that day, Joshua took Machaneh and struck it and his kings with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed them, all the people who were in it. He left none to remain. He also did to the kings of Machaneh as he did done to the king of Jericho. Verse 35. They took in on that day and struck it with the edge of the sword. All the people who were in it utterly destroyed that day according to all that they had done to Lachish. So one of the steadfast principles that I want us to learn today is that we must fight daily.
Yes.
It seemed that these battles Israel fought seemed to be come to them day by day.
Yes.
Theirs was a life of battle. We said at the beginning of this message today that your life is a life of battles. I want to say to those who may be waiting for an easier time to begin to serve the Lord, you may never have an easier time. Amen. You may never have an easier time. You and I are not promised one more day on this earth. The only day you and I have to fight our battles is today. Tomorrow will never come. So I'm going to say this to you, that if you have something to do for the Lord, do it today. Can I say that again? If you have something to do for the Lord, do it today. If you have something to give to the Lord, give it today. If you have someone that you need to tell about Jesus, tell them today. Because tomorrow will not come. There's some folks maybe in this room that has not given over their life to salvation for the Lord. You need to do it today. Because tomorrow may be too late. And if you die right now, and I'm going to tell you the truth, if you died right now without salvation, giving your life over to Christ, your place will not be in heaven.
Amen.
There is a place called hell.
Amen.
That's where you will go. You need to give your life over to Christ. If you haven't done that and made Jesus your Savior and your Lord, you need to do it today. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
You're not promised another day. Secondly, we must fight with determination. Look at chapter 11, verse number 18. It says, Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. We have to fight with determination. Amen. These verses tell us that Joshua fought his battles for a long time. And this tells me that this man had determination. He was determined, RJ. He was determined. And that's a quality that needs to be developed by all of the children of the Lord. Amen? You know why? Because there's
There are many who are quitting in our day. Folks are quitting on God. Too many are throwing in the towel and giving up the fight. We need some people who are willing to take a vow for the Lord today, this morning, and that will stand for Him and will be in His service until the end. Not just a temporary thing, but are going to be there to the end, saints. Lastly, look at chapter 11, verse 12. It says, "So all the cities of those kings and all their kings Joshua took and struck with the edge of the sword, and utterly destroyed them, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded." Verse 15, "And as the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone in all that the Lord had commanded Moses." Amen. Verse 23, chapter 11. "So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses, and Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions of their tribes. Then the land rested from war." Amen. We must fight with devotion. If you look at what Joshua was doing, it's apparent that he was doing what the Lord told him to do. See, and that's what you and I need to do. We need to start doing what the Lord is telling us to do.
Amen.
Not what we think we should be doing. We should do what the Lord is telling us to do. Amen? And that takes devotion, amen? And it's a wonderful way for a believer to live this Christian life. Amen? It's to listen to what the Lord is telling us to do.
Amen.
Listen, you have no one to please this morning but God. Our duty is to love Him. To walk in His word, serve Him faithfully, and serve Him all the days of your life. Our duty is to be devoted to the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man."
Amen.
So as I close, it boils down to this. Whose will has the priority in your life?
Amen.
Whose will has the priority in your life? Eventually, these battles in life will end. They will be finished. And we'll be saved and we'll go on home to heaven to rest. But in the meantime, there are enemies that we need to face and that need to be fought. Now, you can do it the easy way, or you can do it God's way. I'm encouraging, I just gave you three lessons that we need to learn in the day of battle. I'm encouraging you. Do it God's way.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Come on and give God some praise. Amen. Amen. As the music comes, there's something that you need to do.
Sounds good.
Something that you need to lay down. I'm going to ask that you boldly come and do it. Come and put your foot on the neck of that thing. Speak to it. Tell it what you need it to do.
You may be dealing with something in your body. Something going on the inside of you. You need to come and put your foot on that thing, on his neck today.
Amen.
And you need to kill it. Get it under control, because if you don't, it's going to control you. Father, as we come before you on this Sunday morning, Lord, Father, you know the keys that are hidden in our closets. Father, we openly bring them before you today, Lord. We put our foot in that day. We're declaring and decreeing right now. Father, we got it under control. We confronted this thing. And now we come. Your word tells us that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And that, Father, we can do all things. Father, I'm asking right now, Lord, on behalf of these folks that are standing before you, the ones that are seated in the congregation, you know, Lord, the things that are in them. I'm asking you, Lord, to give them the strength to fight this battle. Your word declares in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah.